Before park trysts, the nation's in to put to expect us, but they do issue before park trysts.
Hey, everybody, that's a little bit of the president choking up a bit when he was doing the State of the Union speech. And we're going to cherry pick some of what he talked about during that hour-long speech. Welcome to this version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. You can always throw in your two cents here at the doorstep, 855-266-5283. If you were grading it on an A, B, C, D, F scale, what would you give him? I'll be generous. I'm going to say I would give him a C minus. And the reason is because it's the typical thing of give the people who are already in the pews in your house what they want to hear. And then if we drill it down and look for the substance, we can't find it because there are no hardcore numbers. So one of the things that the president talked about is he talked about the jobs, and he talked about losing jobs, and he talked about the gain in the private sector jobs growing by 6.1 million since February of 2010. But since he became president, the gain is really 1.9 million because of the jobs that were already there. He lost 5 million on his watch up to that point. So you mix that all in between. And then the losses in the public sector employment added into the mix. So the overall jobs record is a gain of 1.2 million. The president has regrouped, and we have a little snippet from his State of the Union.
In the 2 months since Newtown, more than 1,000 birthdays, graduations, anniversaries have been stolen from our lives by a bullet from a gun.
All right, that push to have ultimately a vote on guns, meaning partially what he laid out in his plan, the so-called assault weapons ban and background checks, that kind of stuff, saying that we owe it to those people from Newtown to have a vote, even if we don't all agree. We need to have that vote. That was the push at the tail end of what he had to say in the State of the Union. So the thrust was middle class, deeply divided Congress, embracing ways to strengthen the middle class, to do whatever it takes. He also said Republican ideas for reducing the deficit were even worse than any of the other deals Washington was coming up with that he had to stomach during his first term in the State of the Union address since he won re-election, the first one back. He said that we've got some unfinished tasks, but we have progress, and we're gonna build on the progress. He said that a couple of different times, and one of the things that he talked about is the withdrawal of the troops from Afghanistan, 34,000 American troops gone by the end of the year. And besides that, shoring up the economy this time around by expanding jobs. For example, we have 70,000 bridges that need repair. There's where you could get an increase. How about an increase in the minimum wage? $9. Where's that money coming from? So the rebuttal was up to Republican rising star Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, who said that his solution to every problem that we face for Washington is to tax more and borrow more and spend more. He was dead on as far as that's concerned, because that was the gist of the State of the Union. Here's the problem. This is what we have to do, but it's tax, 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 tax. The minimum wage. Yeah, hey, $9, you have a kid that's working, wouldn't it be great, save for college? But where's that $9 coming from? We are broke. And then borrowing more money, pushing up the debt ceiling, and ultimately ending up spending more. Rubio also said that, the free enterprise system is what brings middle-class prosperity, but that the small businesses were being strangled in too much government, and that is the cause of the problems, or at least he said he believes that is the cause of the problems. He wasn't the only one with a rebuttal. There was also a rebuttal that was done by Rand Paul, the senator from Connecticut, and we're going to let you hear that coming around the bend in our next segment. But certainly Republicans were opposed to the calls for legislating more tax revenue to reduce the deficit and offset the automatic spending cuts, the sequester that will kick in on March 1st. The president accused the Republicans of shifting the cuts from defense to programs that would help the middle class and the elderly, as well as supporting education and job training. He says the idea, this is what he said in the speech, the idea is even worse. So there was nothing new or fresh or different that was being pushed in the hour-long State of the Union address, talking about immigration laws, talking about enacting tougher gun control because of the massacres of school kids in Newtown, Connecticut, calling for a big push and urgency in both of those cases. He said twice, send him a bill and he will sign it. Send me a bill and I will sign it. When it comes to the issue of gun proposals, his gun proposals, he said, each of these proposals deserves a vote in Congress. If you want to vote no, that's your choice. During the hour-long State of the Union, you had a lot of people that had green lapel ribbons. They were on in memory of the people that were killed in Connecticut, in Sandy Hook at the school, the six adults and, of course, the 20 children. In the gallery, the parents of 15-year-old Hydea Pendleton, who was shot and killed sadly in a park just a mile from the president's home in Chicago, which he mentioned, as well as some other victims of some type of a gun death, whether it was a mass shooting or some freaky, horrible thing when it came to a gang member. So that was was what mostly you saw in the people who were out in the gallery. And there was even a police officer who responded to the temple shooting, if you remember, and he was shot 12 times, and they showed him, which I thought was great, and showing the people is fine, and the, I think some of the recognition for the people from Newtown, Connecticut, because this is his push. The push is the further you get away from Newtown, the harder it is to press the emotion button. But, you know, sadly, it's the lack of it was a lot of sizzle, but the lack of real substance when it came to the calls to do this or do that. It all came back to one thing, and it comes back to the money that we already don't have. Like the $1 billion plan to create 15 manufacturing institutes that would bring business and universities and government together. We don't have it. The other thing he proposed was doubling renewable energy in the U.S. from wind, solar, and geothermal sources by 2020. I say fat chance of that one. Stay with us. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila. Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
I like to see you right across the floor. I like to do it till you call for more.
What America needs is not Robin Hood, but Adam Smith. In the year we won our independence, Adam Smith described what creates the wealth of nations. He described a limited government that largely did not interfere with individuals in their pursuit of happiness. Demand Washington change their ways or be sent home. To begin with, we absolutely must pass a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. The amendment must include strict tax and spending limitations. The president does this big, oh, woe is me, over the $1.2 trillion sequester cuts in spending that he endorsed and he signed into law. Some Republicans are now joining him.
All right, welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. State of the Union address, we're talking about it. Obama, lots of sizzle, lots of sauce, but no substance. A call for billions in new spending and a $9 minimum wage hike. $9 minimum wage. Hey, I've made minimum wage. Any of you remember your first job? Were you making minimum wage? I have to think about even what I was making at the time. Gosh, maybe it might have been $6, whatever it was. I think it was $6, and it was a summertime job, and I was psyched to have it because I was the worker bee. I had two and three jobs I was stringing together because I was saving up money that I was going to use. So I had spending money, extra spending money at college or to get books or for whatever. But those times were a little different, my friends. We weren't into debt to the tune of almost $17 trillion. So I would have been that college student that would have been leveraging my future to see my money go up at the sub shop a couple of dollars. Older, go through school, pay that off. I don't think if I was thinking economics, I would be okay with it. And that's the problem. Because where does the money come from? It's taxes. So that's what it is. We're talking about so much more that has to be raised in taxes. Now, this is the president. We got three branches of government. We know that. But the State of the Union is about our leader who comes, who addresses us and talks about where we're at, what he sees as the future. We're looking down the road. Here's what's happening. And the president, at this point, doesn't have to run for re-election, so he can say what he wants. And I'll tell you what, the second term is going to be the more liberal Barack Obama, because he's not going to have to try to necessarily hold that olive branch out and have meetings, backdoor meetings at the White House with people like John Boehner, who met with him in secret, if you remember, not too long after the golf game a couple of years ago. He's not going to have those meetings anymore because he's the guy and he doesn't have to, he doesn't have to worry about it. It's only about legacy at this point. So he challenged Congress, which is very divided, obviously, to back his proposals to create middle-class jobs and to overhaul gun and immigration laws. In a nutshell, if you asked me to give it to you succinctly, that's what the president said. Raise taxes. That's not in there, but that's what's going to have to happen for his dreams to come true. Now, you just heard Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, goes back to the forefathers and saying about limited government, and this is what the nation was founded on, and this is the direction we should be going in. And he's got the Tea Party response, Marco Rubio, the Republican response. Both are expected to be in consideration anyway for running for the White House in 2016 with the back-to-back speeches. It was pretty interesting because you say to yourself and you look at the bench, who would get the Republican nod of those two? Rand Paul or Marco Rubio? Let's say it again. Rand Paul or Marco Rubio? I'm going to say that there would be a lot of people that would back up Rand Paul. Rubio will be known for the stumbling, bumbling around, looking for the water and sweating a little bit and talking about abandoning the crazy obsession with raising taxes, which I agree with that, and going through different points to counterpunch what the president was saying in his rebuttal. But of the more poised, I would say Paul was more poised and said that, you know, it's often said there's not enough bipartisanship up here, meaning Washington. He said that's not true. There's plenty. Both parties have been guilty of spending too much, protecting their sacred cows, backroom deals, which everyone up here wins, but every taxpayer loses. This is Rand Paul. He says it's time for a new bipartisan consensus. It's time Democrats admit that not every dollar spent on domestic programs is sacred, and Republicans realize that military spending is not immune to waste and fraud. I think that Rand Paul won over a lot of fans with what he had to say in his Tea Party-style rebuttal. Rubio has plenty of fans, people that want to see him go far, especially with his background, the immigration background with his parents, and from working-class parents and having to go $100,000 in debt, Rubio himself, to get through school and then just paying off the student loans. So I think he would endear himself to a bunch of people. But ultimately, of the response, Paul was the smoother and had the better plan because he offered up a plan. And he criticized both parties, which I thought was great. And he urged the president and Congress to allow $1.2 trillion in cuts to domestic and military programs to happen as a way to reduce the debt, and said that, you know, really the sequester needs to be at least $4 trillion to avoid downgrading our credit rating, which also is very, very true. We keep doing that. America's almost becoming a bad bet because if you're lucky, if you get the money from us, and we're only paying on our interest, so we're leveraging ourselves and our future. We got the credit card out. We're owing more and more and more money every time we turn around, and yet we're not doing anything to get rid of the principal. It's like a house that we will never pay off. It is. It's like a lemon. We have a lemon for a government. That's what we have, or for a country, because we're not doing anything to get ahead of that bad beat. We're on a bad roll, and we cannot continue to keep going down that bad path, that bad roll. Coming up on America Tonight, there was something else happening right in the middle of the State of the Union, and it was the fact that Christopher Dorner, I said in previous shows, where do you think he is? I really didn't think he was up in Big Bear because it had been too many days. 600 cabins, houses are up there, and it's really thick forest land, no doubt about that. But with all the bodies initially on site, I thought they had really combed over Big Bear Lake, and I didn't think he was there, but he was there. He was there, and he had actually kind of terrorized a couple, tied them up and whatnot, and he was in a cabin. They tried to talk him out of the cabin, but he wouldn't come out of the cabin. They heard a gunshot, all the police officers outside. This is what happened ultimately. And they believe that Chris Dorner is burned up in the ashes in the cabin, but they don't want to say that right now. Initially, there was a report that it was him, but they're going to wait until they definitely have identified him. Now, what's also awful is, because this was an intense fire, it burned for hours, and they waited at a further distance. The SWAT team stormed the cabin where, you know, a suspect who matched Dorner's description was holed up there after a fatal shootout with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's deputy. So that's what's awful. That you had one deputy who was wounded in the shootout, and you had another one who died. The one in surgery, they think he's going to be fine, but what an awful thing. So they were the ones that got into gunfire with him at a police roadblock near Big Bear Lake. And it just, you know, the confrontations were pretty awful. He was driving down a highway near Big Bear and was recognized. And then that's where all of it ensued after that. That you had the driver opening fire, abandoning the truck, all that other stuff. And if we put the pieces together, this has been over a week. Los Angeles on edge for over a week. Starting with the deaths on February 3rd of the daughter of his police union rep and her fiancé. Then one officer in Riverside, California, killed and wounding two others last Thursday. What a violence spree. And this was part of Dorner's campaign of vigilante justice for what he said was unfair termination. Do you know that the cops in Los Angeles were overwhelmed with over 1,000 tips? Wow. Hang with us.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Valentine's Day is this week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing last-minute deal. One dozen gorgeous red roses, plus a free glass vase, a free teddy bear, and a free box of chocolates for just $39.99. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 9696. But hurry, Valentine's Day is this Thursday, and this incredible deal expires Wednesday. Most roses will be sold out by Valentine's Day, so order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings and guarantee Valentine's delivery. One dozen stunning red roses sent fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days, plus a free vase, free teddy bear, and free chocolates, all for only $39.99. But hurry, because it could be nearly impossible to find roses on Valentine's Day. And this incredible last-minute deal expires Wednesday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 9696. That's secret code 9696.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Is 2013 your year to achieve more? More vitality? More health? More well-being? Hi, this is Pastor Jenny. For 25 years, I spent my life's work teaching others how to achieve more. But in 2010, I got a lesson of my own about RNA drops. I learned that there are millions of gene switches latent in every single cell of my body that are waiting for an activator. I learned by taking RNA drops, I could begin to activate that power in my cells and achieve the more that I desire. I'd like to share what I discovered with you and send you a free 30-day supply of RNA drops valued at $50 for just the cost of shipping and handling. Go to rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call me toll free at 888-577-3703. That's 888-577-3703. rnafreesample.com. Discover the more that's waiting for you.
Who is very happy that the spotlight is off of him, at least temporarily, because of the State of the Union address and the analysis over Marco Rubio and was he better than Rand Paul, and were either one of them right in what they had to say about Obama's speech, and what were the holes in the speech, what were the highlights, the lowlights, all the analysis, all the focus on the State of the Union. So we want to focus for a quick second anyway on the senator from New Jersey who is very popular on the Sunday shows and always throws out a holier-than-thou kind of vibe, I think. And it turns out that a lot of the things that he is saying are absolutely false. So Senator Robert Menendez is who we're talking about. He took at least one more trip to the Dominican Republic on the plane of a doctor and campaign donor than he actually publicly admitted. He's already being scrutinized for his association with a South Florida doctor and a political contributor whose offices were raided by the FBI at the end of January. And he visited the Dominican Republic on the private jet in 2008, took part in an exclusive private golf charity tournament. Didn't golf get somebody else in trouble in Scotland, our pal Bob Ney? So sources say Menendez flew on Dr. Melgen's plane to the DR in April for the what they called the Sugar Open. And the Sugar Open had a few other things connected to it that a senator doesn't want to be in the middle of. Let's just leave it at that. So he's saying, oh, the story is just not true. It's not true at whatsoever. But he's being looked at by the Senate Ethics Committee because he didn't report trips on this private plane. And the FBI is also investigating allegations from a whistleblower who claimed that the senator traveled on the plane to actually procure prostitutes in the DNR. And that the senator says that's just crap and it's not true and blah, blah, blah. And he's saying that he reimbursed the doctor almost $60,000 on January 4 after news reports prompted his staffer's review of his travel logs. Well, oh, that's right. I forgot. 2 years ago, I took those trips. I owe you $60,000. But because the New York Post and everybody else is banging down my door and they said I was on the plane 3 times, I want to make sure that I write that check for you now, finally, because everybody knows about it at this point. So I'm sorry, Senator Menendez. I'm just not buying what you're selling at all. You're going to have to sit in our dungeon as we put a little bit of the spotlight on you anyway. So let's do it.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yep, sometimes when you protest too much, it turns out that, yeah, there was something to it. There was a reason why they looked. There's a reason why you got to report stuff to the Federal Election Commission, and you can't be taking those jets because you can't criticize everybody else when you're doing the same thing. So I still think he has some explaining to do. I guess, you know, there is this thing where hear no evil, see no evil. I'm just going to head off to some other direction, and I think I'll be okay. And that's usually when, you know, that spells trouble. So we'll see if he escapes the grasp of the FBI and the Senate Ethics Committee, which he could if he can explain it all away. But the check afterwards is a little bit fishy to me, without a doubt. All right, so let's move on to something else, some odds and ends for you, because, yes, we have the State of the Union address, and we're going to be talking about it again in our next show. We're going to get more reaction from other people. In fact, a lot of reaction from different groups about now Afghanistan, to, you know, 2014, all the troops will be out. But what does that mean? The Taliban, do they automatically come back in, win over the people once again that are illiterate? And it's the same old, same old. But we spent a lot of money, a lot of lives, a lot of limbs in the Middle East. And ultimately, do we leave and live with any real wins from what happened in Afghanistan? And that was one of the things the president talked about, yes, rather in 2014. And there were some other things with the economy that will also break down with a few people in and out of D.C. So some quick odds and ends. This one, I tweeted about this today because, I mean, it's sad, but it's ironic. You have a place called the Heart Attack Grill. Heart Attack Grill. And you have stuff in there that's really bad for you. I mean, it's, you know, heart attack stuff. So that you have a 3-pound quadruple bypass burger. The calories in that thing, almost 10,000. Are you kidding me? 10,000 calories. The average man is supposed to eat, especially if you're trying to keep your weight down, supposed to eat like 1,700 calories in a day. Talk about being over the limit. So anyway, another person connected to the Heart Attack Grill has died. The unofficial spokesperson for the Las Vegas restaurant died of a heart attack. He's just 52, John Alman. He was waiting for a bus in front of the restaurant last week. He had a cardiac arrest. He was removed from life support on Monday afternoon. That is just crazy. And you know, this restaurant, I know people have gone there. They have waitresses that are dressed up like sexy nurses, and they have a diet program where they prescribe their bypass burger, and they call them flatliner fries and full sugar Coke and that kind of stuff. So, you know, they're just joking about the calories in the foods that people obviously like to eat, with burgers and all that kind of stuff. So, wow. In 2011, there was a man who had a heart attack in the restaurant. So, you know, customers didn't realize he was having a real heart attack. They took pictures of him, by the way. They thought it was a publicity stunt. And then in April of last year, a woman in her 40s collapsed eating a double bypass burger, smoking cigarettes, and having a margarita. So this may be a place that has to change its name if they want to have people come back in. I don't know. I mean, it seems very strange to me. Think of all the burger joints that you know of, and can you imagine if somebody had a heart attack there? You wouldn't necessarily say, well, wow, somebody was at McDonald's and they had a heart attack at McDonald's. You would think it was just bad timing. But when you're really pushing the calories, the crazy amount of calories, specifically in these burgers and whatnot, and then those kind of things happen within just a couple of years, wow. This is also a very strange story about Larry Bird's son, you know, the Boston Celtics, former Boston Celtics star, superstar, Hall of Famer. His name's Connor. Connor Bird was actually taken into custody by the Indiana University Police Department. Bird and his ex-girlfriend apparently were getting into a pretty wicked fight. And what happened was when they got into an argument, the girlfriend got out of the car and Bird tried to hit her with his car twice. Twice he tried to do it, and there were some witnesses to that. So now he's got to face some charges, including battery with injury, criminal mischief, intimidation with a deadly weapon, and possession of marijuana. Ooh, not looking good. Even with a famous father, going to be pretty tough for him. And he's 21, so if she really presses that up, and like I said, they have witnesses, that's not going to be easy for him. I think he may end up doing a little time for that. This is time I wouldn't want to do. On a cruise ship floating its way from the Gulf of Mexico to Mobile, Alabama, the conditions on the Triumph Cardinal cruise boat, which has been floating aimlessly 150 miles off the Yucatan Peninsula after a fire in the engine room on Sunday, it's gotten worse. They say there's feces all over the floor, there's water, there's feces flying down the sides of the wall, and the conditions are just awful. There has to be a way to get these people off the ship, for goodness sake. People are getting sick, they're throwing up, the whole boat stinks awful, like a big old outhouse floating around, and they are stranded. They have no food. They get just small amounts of food when other people come by and boats come by and throw food on the deck. So the Carnival Cruise Line's president and the CEO said that the Triumph had drifted so far north of its original position that they had to tow it to a southern U.S. port that I mentioned instead of the original place to take it to Mexico, Progreso, Mexico. They couldn't do it. And you have married couples that are on there doing their honeymoon thing, and it's rough. You have about 3,100 stranded passengers. And people are sleeping on the deck because there's no ventilation. It's too hot to sleep inside. And they say it's pretty terrible stuff. I love that the fact that, they're going to comp the cruise for you, and they're going to give you the opportunity to take another cruise for free. Oh, full refund. Woohoo! And I get another chance to get back on this boat. That sounds terrific. Hang with us.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in four sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
Stop the pain from broken, chipped, and damaged nails and eliminate toenail fungus with a revolutionary new nail hardener, Nails of Steel. Just apply one drop of Nails of Steel over natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time and it's guaranteed. Try this all-natural antifungal and herbal formula for women and men. Call 816-896-8307 or get free shipping at nailsofsteel.com. Nailsofsteel.com. It's like a salon in a bottle.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Like I say over and over, I know the history of the game. I know how many unbelievable players that came through the rings and paved the way for me and my teammates, and for me to be in the record books by myself with such a stat, any stat, it's big time. I don't care about myself, but my teammates allowing me to do that. My coaching staff put me in position to succeed, and I just try to go out and do it.
All right, time to lighten the load and shake things up a little bit. A basketball note, that was the voice of LeBron James. He's the first player in NBA history to score 30 points, shoot at least 60%. That's amazing, in six straight games. How about that? So, the Miami Heat held off the Trailblazers for that historic night. LeBron James, 60% is still pretty amazing. Even if you're not a big hoop fan, you just got to think about how many times he was hitting it. And it is, let's put it this way, that's not a lot of misses there if you think about it. And I have to say, I saw a few games in my time of covering sports where the Heat played the Dallas Mavericks and the Heat played the 76ers, and I watched the guy dunk, and it was definitely absolutely amazing to watch. I'm not a huge LeBron James fan, but I respect the wingspan. Let's put it that way. A couple of other interesting things to mention. I cannot believe the money. You know, maybe I can, but I can't believe these TV deals. The Big East and NBC Sports Network are close to an incredible deal. $20 million is what they're talking about for this, and in some ways it's like a drop in the bucket compared to some of the other deals that are out there. But the Big East is finishing up the details on this, and they're going to do this six-year deal with the sports network for football and basketball rights that'll pay that amount of money. So imagine what's coming in. Sports could not be bigger, which is why I brought that up. It means that NBC NBC Sports could move some Big East games to other networks, which is probably what they would do. But the thing here is the current deal, which would expire after 2013, has paid some of the football members about $3.1 million a year. The deal now would pay them $2 million a year, depending on whether they have 11 or 12 members. And think of the schools that are in the Big East. And for them, you know, that's what it's about. I mean, you know, it's about getting those dollars. And the conferences with the most money win when it comes to sports. You know, that's just the name of the game, because that amount of money helps support the school so often. I mean, look at Notre Dame gets $15 million by themselves, and the entire Big East is getting $20 million. How does Notre Dame work out that deal? $15 million on their own. But see, that's they've had that contract, and they've had this love affair with Notre Dame for a while, so there you go. There is no love affair when it comes to wrestling and the Olympic Games. In fact, the International Olympic Committee might have stunned a few people. If you have any young wrestlers that you know that were hoping to get to the Olympics, they're going to have to think twice. The news has been handed down from Switzerland, and the news is not good. Wrestling is one of the oldest sports known to man, and if you think of the Olympic gods and the games held centuries ago in Greece, of course, wrestling, but it's done. It's on its way out, at least for 2020, unless some crazy thing happens, unless there's massive, you know, backlash or criticism that somehow makes them change their mind. But it's definitely off for 2020 for now. The IOC reviews 26 sports that are currently on the Olympic program, and they eliminate one. Eliminating one sport means they can add a sport. So wrestling is gone, and they say this is a way to renovate the program, to put something else in that we don't have now that people are interested in. So wrestling is in the same category now as baseball, softball, karate, squash, sport climbing, wakeboarding, as a ditched sport. The vote on the 26th medal sport is held in September. So what sport, wonder what sport they could put on there. I mean, I don't even know if I try to think of it, what sport you would replace wrestling with. I'm just stunned that wrestling was ditched because of the tie to history and because of so many people that wrestle, so many high schools and colleges and just the popularity of the sport, I think anyway, is still out there, and now they're ditching it. Wow, and who knows if they bring it back or not? Once it's off, it's pretty tough to get the sport back because they move on. You know, the Olympics move on to something else, and if there's enough interest in that, there's, you know, just absolutely no way to try to get it back on the program, unless there's massive arguments and fights over why it should be, you know, why it should still be there. And it didn't have the support, didn't have the numbers, at least not enough numbers for the likings of the not enough numbers for the likings of the people in the IOC who decide such things like what sport's out and what sport is in. What do you think a good sport would be to add? How about, I know my man Matt, the glue of the show, would probably say broomball. How about broomball instead of wrestling?
It's a winter sport.
Well, couldn't they still play it anyway? Because in hot weather places, you could still have an ice rink. You could play it on an ice rink.
It's like having curling in the summer games.
Well, then that would make up for screwing over all the wrestling people.
I don't know. I think one thing they need to do is start kind of figuring out what the mixed martial arts or the martial arts in general. There's so many of them. I think they have karate, judo, taekwondo, and a fourth one. I know they're different, but at the same time, how do you have like five of those sports in, and then you can't have baseball and, well, I know the cost difference there, but I mean, popularity wise, I would think you'd have way more people watching baseball, softball, and wrestling than you would the eight kinds of martial arts that are happening.
Oh, I think so, too. I think the reason they took out baseball and softball is because of the dominance of America in those sports.
But, I don't know. I don't agree with you on that, though, because Japan has always had pretty solid teams and in both baseball and softball, Korea as well, Australia in softball, not so much as in baseball, but in Cuba as well in baseball. So I know it's more of a limited, I guess, as far as all the countries, but I mean, there's plenty of other countries. Look at track and field. That's mainly American and Jamaican dominated, but they still have it.
Oh, absolutely. But I think it would be harder to ditch that than it is like baseball or softball. It's easier for them to do that. It's really too bad because I think both of those sports should be in it. Because of the reasons you mentioned, even if America wins the gold medal, if they think America's winning the gold medal so much, but there are still competitive teams from the other countries that you just mentioned, well, they're popular. Certainly, baseball and softball are popular in Asia, which with the growing huge populations there and the people who are such rabid Olympic fans. So I don't understand. I mean, I agree. I don't understand why they ditched it.
When it comes to the Summer Olympics, you pretty much have the swimming events, the sprinting events, and the gymnastics as kind of those are the premier prime time sports, and everything else is kind of like trickles down, and you have a lot of sports that not a lot of people watch.
Yeah, and the part of it is too the amount of money the networks pay for the rights to the games, and I mean it all comes back down to the whole money machine thing, and you know unfortunately. I think they've convoluted some of the sports that they've put out there and maybe even trying to appeal to younger people, but they need to get it right and they need to pare it down. There has to be, they've even done parodies on this on television shows. I just saw one recently where they were mocking the whole system and how they decide if a sport's in or how or why it's ultimately ditched. But once it's ditched, like wrestling, it's very tough to have it reinstated. So chances are when it's cut, 2020, it's not there. It's not coming back, sadly.
Well, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard. Is this a business decision or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.
You've heard about or even used colloidal silver for years. But did you know there's a silver product that is much better, faster, safer, and superior? Silver that is fundamentally distinctive, different, and the only patented silver since the original colloidal silver in 1923? Introducing Silver Protocol from Neoferra. Think about this. What will you do when you can't get antibiotics? Silver Protocol should be in every grab bag, the one product you gotta have when it all breaks loose. Unlike colloidal silver, use Silver Protocol preventatively or whenever infection occurs. Silver Protocol can be boiled or frozen, yet is still 100% effective, has super long shelf life, and will not cause argyria or turn you blue. Order Silver Protocol at 800-213-0644. That's 800-213-0644. Or go to neoferra.com, spelled neoferra.com. Sign up for our free educational email series at neoferra.com. Silver Protocol, the ultimate immune booster.